One of the most importantly misinterpreted phrases in the Torah is the phrase "Mimacharas HaShabbos." It was very famously misinterpreted and led to confusion throughout history, to the point that according to one tradition, we celebrate winning the victory about how to interpret that phrase of Mimacharas HaShabbos by not saying Tachnun throughout the entire Chodesh Nisan. That the non-Tachnun through Chodesh Nisan is celebration because we won the Mimacharas HaShabbos battle. We know how to properly translate Mimacharas HaShabbos. Essentially, according to Megillas Tainis, winning the argument over when to have the holiday of Shavuos was a big enough deal to forbid Hesped and Tainis from Ches Nisan until after Pesach. And it was a big enough deal to make a difference for all time in terms of how we view the entire Chodesh Nisan. But all of this begs a question. Why in the world would the Torah leave it so open to misinterpretation? What does it actually mean? Mimacharas HaShabbos? Let's see if we really want the battle. The day after the first day of Pesach, right? So if it means the day after the first day of Pesach, why can't the Torah just tell me the day after the first day? Why would you call the first day of Pesach Shabbos? It seems so unusual to use a term that has another meaning, and it's a pretty significant meaning in Judaism, and use it to describe the first day of Pesach. So that's question number one. Why does the Torah do it? What does Pesach have to do with Shabbos? Obviously, the Torah is trying to draw attention to the fact that in some sense Pesach is a mini Shabbos, that there's some Shabbos element to Pesach more than any of the other Moadim. Furthermore, a week from today, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to be celebrating Lag Ba'Omer. Lag Ba'Omer is traditionally associated with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and the story that Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel tells about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's experience in the cave. Of course, as you know, the Gemara never mentions Lag Ba'Omer. The Gemara doesn't associate that story with Lag Ba'Omer, but traditionally we associate it with Lag Ba'Omer. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Rav Elazar come out of the cave. It's reported Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel and Beis, and the Gemara tells us that they have a very hard time initially adapting to their surroundings, like a very hard time. Like everything that Rabbi Eliezer would see would just go up in flames. And like, that's not going to make you the most popular guy in the neighborhood. If every time you look at something, you come out of your house in the morning and you look at your neighbor's car and boom, the whole thing goes up in flames. So not good. It wasn't working out so well. And, it's only when they saw a man, Hahusaba, the Gemara describes, they saw an old man carrying two hadassim for Shabbos, which again, it's a great idea to buy flowers for Shabbos. Don't make it too hadassim when you buy flowers for your wife for Shabbos. Go maybe a dozen roses or something. But okay, but he was carrying two hadassim l'kavod Shabbos, and he explained why two: one keneged shomer, one keneged zachar. Wow, that there's such meaning to it that we have two hadassim. Of course, we do two of something keneged shomer and zachar. What do we do two of keneged shomer and zachar? Two Shabbos candles, exactly. Shulchan Aruch writes that they shall light a Shabbos candle, and some are knowing to do two Shabbos candles, one keneged shomer, one keneged zachar. And then some are mosif more beyond that, of course. But it's based on this, Hahusaba. He explained one keneged zachar, one keneged shomer, and that allowed for Reb Lazar and Reb Shimon Bar Yochai to be able to sort of tolerate society. Rav Pinchas Friedman Shlita points out a couple of oddities in this story. First of all, why is it that preparation for Shabbos is specifically chosen as the mitzvah to calm down Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and Rav Lazar? Meaning, the idea I understand, that you want to show that this world of Gashmius that they find so beneath them and such hevel, that the world of Gashmius could be used in the service of Hashem. That I understand, but why dafka through this particular element, this particular mitzvah of preparing for Shabbos? Couldn't any mitzvah that involves using the physical world for service of Hashem, which pretty much describes every mitzvah, have made the same point, right? Kiner mitzvah v'Torah or. What does Maral explain? That or is something that's not, that has no mamashus, you can't feel it. But ner is something that's a physical thing. Ner mitzvah, a mitzvah is a physical manifestation of Avodas Hashem. So every mitzvah, by definition, is a physical manifestation of Avodas Hashem, pretty much. Obviously not the mitzvah of Emunah Hashem, but most mitzvahs that involve some sort of maisa. So why is it dafka preparation for Shabbos? Second of all, he points Tosus and Chulin and Davav Amir Aleph, Dibur Maskel Ashkeche, points out that whenever Hahus Saba appears in Shas, it's always the same person. It is Eliyahu HaNavi. Hahus Saba is Eliyahu HaNavi. So apparently it became Eliyahu HaNavi's job to not only inform Rav Elazar and Rashbi when it was safe for them to leave the cave, but to also use Hachana L'Shabbos as a method of enabling them to readapt to society. So, A, why was Hachana L'Shabbos chosen? And B, why was Eliyahu HaNavi chosen for that task of demonstrating Hachana for Shabbos? And again, the first question that we had asked, why Pesach is called Shabbos, or why the first day of Pesach, not all of Pesach, first day of Pesach is called Shabbos more than any of the other Moadim. So the answer to this question might be based on an insight of the Meshech Chachma. Rameir Simcha understands that Shabbos is a time where a person engages in a tremendous amount of private introspection, meaning it sort of closes himself off, his world gets smaller on Shabbos, and he's able to look inside of himself a lot more on Shabbos. Certainly in today's day and age, we experience this to a great degree, right? Because if the whole rest of the week we're attached to the entire world with these devices that we have, you know, on our bodies at all time, and you know, like when we're away from them for 5 minutes, we right away have to go check, right? You stand outside a shul after davening, assuming a very frum shul. If it's a shul that people aren't so from, they've already been on the device the whole time while they were in it. But stand outside like a shul of mamsh, Ovdei Hashem, right? And watch as people walk out of shul. Everyone walking out of shul. Oh, I mean, I've missed something. It's been, you know, it's been 22 minutes that I've been davening shacharis, you know, so I have to, no, very from shul, 27 minutes. So I may have missed something, right? Everyone's on their device immediately. There's this, like, connectedness that we have, that we feel like there's need for. Comes Shabbos, Ba Shabbos, Ba Menucha, we put it away, we remove ourselves from that, and our world becomes smaller. And we just have this time to be a little bit more introverted. Rav Tzvi Schweiner explains that Shabbos appeals to the introvert within us. They used to think that there were two types of people, there were introverts and extroverts. And then they realized that that was a mistake to categorize people like that, because it's not true. Most people are neither introverts nor extroverts. They are sometimes introverted and sometimes extroverted. Meaning sometimes people are very gregarious and friendly when they're ready for it, when they're in the right situation. And sometimes they just don't want to talk to anybody. They just want to be alone. And that's fine. People are, you know, at different times in their lives, different times in their day, different times in their week. We'll have, and obviously some people a little more than others in each direction, but Shabbos appeals to the introvert within us. Yontif, on the other hand, is designed for the extrovert. Certainly in the days before technology it was. Yontif is a time that we connect with other people, with family, with friends. It's designed to appeal to the extrovert. And that's evident in four ways, just to prove this point, that Shabbos is for the introvert and Yontif is for the extrovert. Number one, the source where each day derives its Kedusha. Where does Shabbos derive its Kedusha from? Who decided that the seventh day is Shabbos? Hashem. No human being had any say in the matter. Right? It's Kavua V'kayma Misheshis Yimei Bereshis. The notion of Shabbos was created during Bereshis, when there was no such thing as friends. There was no such thing as family. It was just HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he created Shabbos. Yontif, how does Yontif get defined, what day Yontif is going to be? Beis Din. You need a Beis Din to determine on behalf of all Klal Yisrael. Now, Beis Din is not Beis Din. It's not really Beis Din that determines it. It's Klal Yisrael that determines it. Salvage goes all yards actually about the roles of Beis Din. How Beis Din sometimes is, Midin Beis Din, and sometimes there are Midin, the representatives of Klal Yisrael. The Jewish people determine when Yontif is going to be. All of the Jewish people. Well, the thing is, if you can't give everybody a say, so we have a representative body that represents the entirety of the Jewish people. And that's who determines Yontif. Second demonstration of the difference between Shabbos and Yontif, the halachos of carrying differ from Shabbos to Yontif. And Shabbos, very strict limits on where we can carry, making sure not to carry Mereshus Yachad Mereshus Ram, Mereshus Ram Mereshus Yachad. On Yontif, we're much more mobile. We're able to interact with people and bring food over to neighbors' houses and connect with a much wider circle. Third, the halachos of cooking differ tremendously. On Shabbos, no cooking. Whoever was invited before can still come, but no new invitations can really be extended because unless you have extra food, because no new food can be cooked. Once it's Shabbos, there's nothing else. That you can't just throw a couple more hot dogs on the grill, you know, because you can't. It's Shabbos. It's a time for family. It's not much more than it is a time for guests. It's a time for family. On Yontif, we can cook and entertain as much as we want. In fact, according to one opinion in the Gemara and Beitza and Pesachim, the reason that you're allowed to cook even late in the day on Yantiv, right? Midaraisa, you're allowed to cook even late in the day of Yantiv, leading into a Shabbos, and on the Daraisa level, you don't need the Erev Tavshilin. Is why? Ho'il? V'miklai Orchim Chazile. Right? If Orchim show up. What do you mean Orchim show up? I'm cooking for an army here. Yeah, an army of guests might show up. Like, built into the halacha of Yantiv is the possibility that an army might show up, that an entire group of people might show up that you're going to want to feed. Because that's a possibility on Yantiv. That's not a possibility on Shabbos. And fourth, the way Shabbos is celebrated is kavod va'oneg, implying like a certain understated appreciation of the sanctity of the day. Yom Tov's key mitzvah is not kavod v'oneg. What's the key mitzvah? Simchas Yom Tov. A more overt rejoicing that's only possible in its fullest sense when you're with other people. In fact, many Rishonim understand the obligation to be mesameach ishto b'nei beiso b'regel is not so that they can fulfill their mitzvah of simcha. You're mesameach ishto b'nei beiso so that you can fulfill your mitzvah of simcha. Meaning your mitzvah of simcha is only realized on Yom Tov when you're connecting with other people. When you're providing for other people, when you're doing for other people. When the Rambam defines Simchas Yom Tov, he's careful to warn that if you're doing it by yourself, if you're just hoarding whatever food you have for yourself, and you're not opening your doors to Yisomim and Almanos, Ein Zeh Simchas Mitzvah, I forget the exact question, Ein Zeh Simchas Kreso. You're just enjoying your own, that's not Simcha. Simcha is shared with others, and that's what Yom Tov is. Shabbos is the introvert. For the introvert, Yom Tov is for the extrovert. It's to be able to connect to other people. And based on that, we can answer all the questions that we began with. How so? Pesach is referred to as Shabbos by the Torah, but that's not true. Not all of Pesach. The first day of Pesach is referred to as Shabbos by the Torah. No other Yom Tov except for... What other Yom Tov is referred to as Shabbos by the Torah? Yom Kippur. Not just Shabbos? Shabbos Shabbos. Like the ultimate Shabbos. Why? Because the first day of Pesach earns its title probably because there's a certain semi-private nature to Pesach more so than other Yom Tovim. And what's the big kasha everyone asks at the Seder when we say Kol Dichon Yezim V'Yechol? How could you say Kol Dichon Yezim V'Yechol? You need to be Mamuna ala Pesach. What does it mean you need to be Mamuna ala Pesach? That's halacha. No one can participate in your Korban Pesach unless they are pre-registered. You already have your list of who's registered in your Korban Pesach, and anyone who's not is out. So it's Asur, they're not allowed to partake of your Korban Pesach. Pesach is defined by a group that's predetermined. We're permitted to cook on Pesach, but the meal in that first night consists of the Korban Pesach, where you need to be pre-registered. That is a Shabbos-type characteristic. It's a celebration, but it only comes from a certain sense of privacy, of private contemplation. In fact, Yom Kippur fits this beautifully. Yom Kippur is Shabbos Shabbosun because if there was ever a day of introspection, if there's ever a day where you're caught in your own thoughts, where you're thinking about yourself and where you need to go and what you've done wrong and what requires fixing, what requires atonement, it is Yom HaKippurim. So Yom HaKippurim has this Shabbos element to it. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and Rav Elazar spent many years in a state of Shabbos. What do I mean, many years in the state of Shabbos? They're in a cave. They're all by themselves. What they did in that cave, we could not fathom. We can't even understand the level, the madrigals that were achieved and that were reached. They appreciated how a person can grow from a Shabbos experience. Because they had the ultimate Shabbos Shabbos. And it's the Sisrei Torah that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai revealed that brings us to Yom Shekulo Shabbos. Right? What you're hoping for is Yom Shekulo Shabbos. That's the goal. The Zohar in Parshas Naso even tells us that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai used to lead a group of six Talmidim. You know this? He used to lead a group of six Talmidim. So he was the seventh. And they would refer to him as Shabbos. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was Shabbos. That's what he was. Ma Shabbos LaShem Kodesh, Af Rabbi Shimon Shabbos LaShem Kodesh. Interesting, no? That's his experience. Eliyahu HaNavi was chosen to be the one to demonstrate that while Shabbos may be the ultimate goal, Yom Shekul Shabbos may be what we're looking for, but there's a hachana that's necessary in advance. And the hachana is a Yom Tov type experience. The hachana is by bringing flowers to your wife. The hachana is by connecting with other people. The hachana is to invite the guests in advance so that you know who's going to be coming on Shabbos. So yeah, the goal is the Olam Haba, the Yom Shekul Shabbos, but in order to get there, there needs to be the Hachana Shabbos. And the Hachana is by interacting with the world. We cannot bring about Geula from inside the Ma'ara, nor, certainly not, by burning everything with our eyes that's outside the Ma'ara. The true Hachana for Geula comes about when people bring flowers to their wives, when conversations take place between people. And that message is taught specifically by Eliyahu HaNavi. Because Eliyahu HaNavi at one point in his life also tried to experience a Shabbos type existence, where he closed himself off from the rest of society after he issued the curse of a drought and just went to live by himself, and you know, the birds brought him his food and whatever, and he was all alone and all by himself. And it was Eliyahu that was told because of that, no, you can't do this. That's not how you're going to live the rest of your life. Instead, you're going to go visit every year. Not every year. You're going to visit every time there's a bris milah, right? That's what Chazal tells us. That Eliyahu HaNavi is the malach of the bris. Because he has to go see people taking the physical world and using it for spirituality. Attend every bris to see what the Jewish people can become when a man and a wife come together. That creates more Jews. And that creates a certain sense of Kedusha. And he's a guest at the bris milah. The idea of Eliyahu being a guest at the Pesach Seder would fit nicely, but not as well grounded in actual makoros. But certainly Eliyahu HaNavi as a guest at a bris milah, that's very well grounded in Divrei Chazal. And that's a child could be raised for Avodas Hashem within the Torah community. So Eliyahu HaNavi is the one who learned this lesson in his own life. He's the one that goes and teaches it to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and Rav Lazar. It's great. The Shabbos experience is the goal. What you achieve there, other human beings have not achieved, maybe will never achieve. But most people need Yontif to get to Shabbos. Most people need to connect to each other. And I think the message we're meant to take from the Parsha Samoadim that we read this week, and from the celebration of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, which we'll have Bez Hashem next week, is that the ultimate goal might be this sense of Yechidus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That might be the pinnacle of human existence, is to have a certain Yechidus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the only way to get there is by being there for each other, is Bivchinas Yantif, by strengthening each other, sharing in each other's challenges and smachos, and just being there for each other and strengthening each other. And that's has become a major element of what the days of Sfira are really all about. That the Gemara uses that expression of the Nagu Kavod Zevazah, and that's what we're being misake during these days of, you know, even holy tzaddikim. But sometimes if holy tzaddikim didn't connect enough with each other, that sets us back in the process of Geula. In order to get to the Geula, we need to get to the point where we're able to come together, where we're able to relate to each other. That's why it's a primary point of focus for us. We don't know what Yom Shekul Shabbos looks like. We don't know what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and Rav Lazar, what their cave experience looks like. We know it's something magnificent and it's something that we can't fathom. But in order to get there, in order to have any hope of getting there, we need to be able to strengthen ourselves through community. You know, like Lamashal. It's really one of the greatest tools in our toolbox of being a Shomer Torah mitzvahs, is a sense of community. When people try to do things on their own, and they're just like, I don't care what anybody else thinks, I do my thing. It's very hard to be disciplined enough to stay within the bounds of what you would hope would be your level of shmiras and mitzvahs. When you're part of a religious community, when you're part of a yeshiva, when there's an expectation around you, when someone's going to notice if you miss a seder, someone's going to notice if you miss a tefillah, you know, when you're living within a certain construct, it's much easier. Now, you might say, oh, that's so sad. How come I can't be self-motivated all the time to be able to do everything right? Because you're human, and we're all human. and sometimes we need a little bit of social pressure. If my entire life is based only on social pressure, and I never developed any genuine sense of connectedness to Hashem, and I never had a Shabbos Shabbosin of Yom Kippur, and I never really experienced, you know, being alone in the house on Shabbos and still taking out a sefer and learning. If I never had that experience, well, then there's something wrong in terms of my development also. You need the Shabbos to become a part of you, but in order to get it to become a part of you, one of the greatest tools in our toolbox is the Yom Tov experience, is the experience of coming together and being inspired together with other people, together with our communities, together with our families, together with Klal Yisrael.